Good evening, and I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for coming. This evening, I am going to be speaking to you about hope and also about the things that our brother Alvin Harris spoke to us this morning, setting forth a good example. We all have a hope in us that when the time comes and we stand before our Lord, that He will have been pleased with the things that we have done here on this earth, and that we will be found worthy in His eyes to dwell with Him for eternity. So tonight we're going to talk about that hope. There are certain things that we have to do in order to meet that criteria that He has. I am going to talk to you about different things tonight. There's going to be a dream that I had. We're going to read some scriptures on hope and the things that God has commanded us to do. And we're going to talk about a miracle that God has performed. But it's all to give us hope that when we do stand before God, that we will be found worthy in His sight. The dream that I'm going to talk to you about, most of you have heard before. But tonight, I want you to put yourself in my place when I was having the dream. I want you to imagine yourself being where I stood and seeing the things that I saw. So I will do my best to relay the dream to you so you can picture it. The dream that I had, in this dream, the first thing that I remember that I want you to picture yourself is that you're standing on a beach. It is beautiful. The sand is white. And you're standing at the edge of the water of the ocean. You know that there's beach behind you, and you know that all of us here in the Church of Christ and everyone that has been in the Church of Christ is standing behind you. All the way back to the beginning of time, they are all there. And they want you to go forward. And you look out across the water, and the water is crystal clear. It's perfect. And you see all types of fishes in the water of all colors and sizes and shapes. And it's beautiful. And out in front of you in the water itself, rising up out of the water, is an island, probably 300 feet in front of you. It's covered in jungle. There is a mountain on it. And you can see that the water is not very deep and that you could actually walk out to that island. And you know that everybody that is standing behind you wants you to go to that island. And they're urging you forward just with their prayers and their thoughts. But before you can step into the water to go, behind the island there comes a great big wave from the ocean. And it covers the island and everybody behind you and you yourself, you run back up the beach towards the jungle. And you make it up to the jungle and you turn around and you see that this wave actually comes and it covers the whole beach where you were standing. And then the water recedes and you look at the beach and you see that it is full of dead fish and it's full of trash and there's jellyfish everywhere. And you're looking at it and you start walking back down to the water. And then you look in the water and you see that the water is full of dead fish and there's jellyfish and there's trash. And you're looking at it and you sense that everybody comes behind you again from the church. And you know that they want you to go out to the island. But you can hear them telling you that you can make it and you need to walk between where all the dead fish are and don't let any of the jellyfish touch you because if any of it touches you, you'll die. But you need to go to the islands. So you start and you get into the water and you walk out and you miss all of the trash and the dead fish and the jellyfish and you make it to the island. And then when you get on the island, you're walking through the jungle and you come to this rock wall and you can see the rock in it and you can see that parts of it are covered in stucco and you can see roots of the, of a tree coming out of the wall and you look up and the wall is tall. It's way over your head, you know, like 12, 15 feet up and you look up and you see this tree growing on top of the wall. And it, the bark of the tree is an orangey gray bark, looks like paper, like you could peel it right off the tree if you could touch it. And the tree is huge. And all of a sudden, you're up on top of the wall. You're actually standing on a branch in the tree. And this branch runs along the top of the wall, follows the direction of the wall towards another tree. And you look across the wall to the inside and you see that there is a little collection of houses and they're all covered in stucco. And you look at it and you look and it's completely surrounded by this wall on four sides. And on top of the wall, every so often, is a tree. There's three trees on top of each wall as it surrounds the town. So that on top of the wall, there are actually 12 trees growing all the way around this town. And this branch that you're on goes straight out to the next tree. It's about 3 feet wide, covered in very smooth bark. And so you start walking on this branch to the next tree. And when you get to the next tree, you step off of that branch onto the branch of the following tree, the next tree in front of you. And as you step off of the first branch, you hear a noise and you look back and you see that the rock wall that the tree was growing on starts to crumble away from you. And the tree settles down to the ground. It doesn't fall over. It just settles down to the ground. And you go to the, you get on that second tree and you walk to the next. And you step off. And as you step off, the second tree, the wall under the second tree crumbles. And that tree settles down to the ground. And you're able to go all the way around this little village. And as you go from tree to tree, the rock wall crumbles away. And the trees settle down to the ground. And then you wake up. This morning, my Uncle Alvin, our brother Al, talked to us about reaching out to the world and trying to draw people to Christ by inviting them to come and join us in the very activities that we find interesting in our lives here at church. Well, when I woke up from that dream, I asked God what it was. And he immediately told me, and this is the interpretation, and I want you to put yourself in my place in the interpretation. The beach that we stood on in the beginning when it was beautiful, that was the world as God created it in the beginning, without spot, without sin. Everybody that was behind me were members of the Church of Christ from the beginning of time. Followers of God. The island that you saw out in the water was the house of Israel. The wave that came up and covered the island and covered the beach and polluted everything was when sin entered the world. So the world was filled with sin. The ocean was filled with sin. And you had to go from that beach to the island without letting any of the sin touch you. And when you got to the island, you were supposed to walk on the tree limb. Those 12 trees that were growing on top of that rock wall were his 12 apostles. The path that you walked was the same path that they walked when they followed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The things that he taught them, those were the things that they taught the people that followed them. The things that we have written in these scriptures that we have. For me, the trees had another significance because I have seen those trees growing in Mexico. They cut the limbs off and they plant them in the ground and they use them for fence posts. They run their barbed wire on them and then the fence post actually starts to grow into another tree, into a big tree. John can tell you that they grow into very big trees. For me, he told me that because I saw that type of tree, I was to go to down into Mexico and do exactly what everyone else had done that had came before me. And that was walk the same path that they walked and set the same example to those people down there that Christ set to his apostles and the apostles set to everyone else. That's what I was commanded to do. But all of us have been commanded to do the same thing everywhere we are, every day of our lives. We're supposed to follow that same path and set that same example. To lead other people to Christ. To get them to want, to desire, to follow Him. We're supposed to set such a good example that it makes people stop and look at us and go, why don't you do the things of the world? And why don't you have tattoos, as our brother Al was talking? And why don't you do all these things that the world thinks is okay? And why is it that you believe that homosexuality is a sin? And why do you teach your children and your people that you're not supposed to commit adultery and that you're supposed to strive to keep your marriages together and you're supposed to strive to serve one another and be servants? That's the example that we're supposed to set. That's the way we're going to draw people to Christ. That's the example that Christ set and the apostles set. And that's what I'm supposed to do in Mexico, and that's what I'm supposed to do here, and that's what you are supposed to do if you're a member of the Church of Christ. That's why all those people that were standing behind me on the beach and behind you on the beach wanted us to go to the island. He said to me that if we did, and we went and we did that in front of those things, that rock wall that those trees were growing on was the rock wall or the wall that people put up in their hearts against the teachings of Christ. And that if we follow that path and we do it in front of them, we will break down that wall because the roots are there and it will crumble away and they will come to accept Christ. But that's what we have to do. If you will open your Book of Mormon to page 430, this is how we're supposed to act, these things that, and this is the path that we're supposed to walk on, starting at the 225th verse. Therefore, if you do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and is trodden under foot of men. When you go out to set this example to the world, be charitable with it. Do not beat them over the heads with it or condemn them or anything like that. Be kind to them like Christ was. Set the example that Christ said. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. Immediately, you'll know what to do. you'll know how to act. If you harden not your hearts against the teachings of God and accept them and repent of your sins. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, the people that stood behind us on the beach, all of their testimonies, all of the things that they wrote down for us. Therefore, I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Do not procrastinate. You can't do it while you're standing in front of him. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. So how are we supposed to treat each other? What are we supposed to do while we're walking that path? What type of example are we supposed to set for each other and for those people out there in the world who have that wall built up in their hearts? Turn to Luke, the 6th chapter of Luke, starting at the 27th verse. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Don't point out their faults. Love them. Yes, they're your enemies, but love them. Try to draw them closer to God. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Be giving, give of yourself, give of your love, give of the same love that Christ has shown to you and to your family. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Treat them the way that Christ has treated you. For if you do that, then you're following Christ in his path. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If you only love those that love you first, you're no better than a sinner. And you have a wall built up in your heart. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Lend it with love. Give them your love. Lend them your love. And then you can hope to have eternal life. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. He forgives us of our sins every time we ask him to, when we ask in sincerity of heart. We're supposed to do that for the people that ask us to forgive them of the sins that they have committed against us. Otherwise, you can't walk that path. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, men shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. And these are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a promise. If we will do this, if we will treat people this way, then he is going to fill us up with a treasure that is greater and worth more than anything you can find here on this earth. We shall inherit the kingdom of heaven if we do these things. The first step that you have to have on that path is you have to enter in at the gate. Turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You have to go through the gate one at a time. Everybody enters into the waters of baptism one at a time. It's all just one baptism. It's the same baptism, but it's one. One baptism, one at a time. There's one gate, and it is a narrow gate, and only one person fits through it at a time. Just like when you're being born again, or born the first time in your life, it's a narrow opening that you pass through and you come out a brand new baby, a brand new being. That's what baptism is. If you will turn to the second book of Nephi, it's on page 162. I'm going to start at the 20th verse. After we have been baptized, we have to follow that path because you have just started out on that path. So you have to follow that path all the way around the wall until it's completely broken down and the teachings and the love of Christ can come pouring into your center of your little village or your heart, and it will dwell there. But you have to follow that path and walk that path your whole life. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you, that I have seen that your Lord and Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shewn unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Let it be so. You can walk through this world without touching sin if you want to, without letting it kill you. And you can walk this same path that it talks about right here. Do the things that Christ did. Act Christ-like. And then finish the path. Walk all the way around. And you will receive the promise. He does things for us to help us remember the promises. He gives us blessings. He gives us dreams and visions. He has supplied us with the scriptures that we need to understand what it is he wants us to do. He has given us ministry to help us to understand these things. He has given us testimonies to remind us that he's still there. The testimony that I am going to share with you tonight is an old one. And yes, it's a testimony from my family. When my oldest daughter was 3 and a half, she was diagnosed with cancer. She was on chemotherapy for 3 and a half years. At one point in her treatment, she got so sick and she had such a high fever that she was put in complete isolation in the hospital, Children's Mercy Hospital, to where Angelita was in there with her the entire time that she was there, and they were in there for months. And if you wanted to go see her, you had to put on a complete outfit. You had to put on booties and this complete covering and gloves and mask and everything just to be able to go in and see Savannah. And she constantly had a fever. It was usually around 103. Sometimes it would go up to 105. Sometimes a little higher. And the doctors at Children's Mercy, they gave her every medication that you could give somebody to combat a fever, an infection. They tried everything they could, and nothing worked. One day, the doctor came in and was talking to my wife, and he told her, "Mrs. Sprague, we've done everything we can for Savannah, and there is nothing left that we can do for her. And we have to take her off of her medication. And in just a little while, I'm going to come in, and I will take her off of her medication. And if there's anybody that you want to call to have pray for Savannah, now is the time, because she's not going to be here tomorrow." And so Angelita called me and told me what he said. And I called the church and ask for some elders to please come and administer to Savannah right away. And Leslie and Marvin Case came to the hospital and they administered to Savannah. In the meantime, the doctor took Savannah off of all of her meds. They were done. And so that's what we did. 4 days later, Savannah was ready to leave the hospital. And as we were leaving the hospital, the doctor that took Savannah off of her medication and told us that she was going to die the next day, but that we needed to call someone to pray. He came up to us as we were walking out of the hospital and he said, "I want you to understand that I did not save your little girl. It was not us. We took her off of all medication and she should be dead." And she's here today. She's 19 now. She's married. Her husband, Joe, is at boot camp for the Air Force, and she just got off the phone with him just before we pulled into the parking lot. So yes, God still takes care of us. And yes, he gives us miracles. And yes, he gives us the same type of testimonies that are written about in these books. The centurion's daughter was healed by Christ just like mine. That was over 2,000 years ago. He's still doing the same stuff today that he did back then. And he still expects us to walk the same walk that he demanded of the centurion and of his apostles. And if we will just do it, he will bless us. And he will, if we endure to the end, he will give us that gift of eternal life. So, as we go out into the world to draw people to Christ, remember what it was like to stand on the beach, what it was like to walk on that limb, on that tree, on that wall, what the rock wall looked like as it was crumbling away. And remember that as you're walking through the world, you can break down the wall that is built up in people's hearts by Satan. Because Christ's roots have been planted firmly and deep throughout the world. The story has been told over and over and over again. And it's there. We just need to help it be exposed. Thank you.